Good morning.
Good morning.
I have some good news to share with you. Yesterday we had a couple of baptisms. We had Jaden Reed and his grandfather Wayne Reed. Wayne lives in Texas, but he was here. He's here for the weekend. And the two of these now have the same birthday into the body of Christ. Jaden and Wayne, would y'all just stand for just a second for everyone to see who you are? Next week, we'll start a three-part series, a sermon series. I'll have three sermons titled Overcomers. And so for those 3 weeks, we're going to take a look at three of the more challenging things that we face in life. One of those is overcoming illness. One of those will be overcoming grief. And one will be battling chronic mental health struggles, anxiety, depression, things like that. And so we'll take a look at some things that can be really challenging in life. We'll do that in a three-part series starting next week, so I'm excited about that. Overcomers. Our minds are on a national holiday tomorrow, Memorial Day. Many may think of this day as just, you know, the start of summer. May think of Labor Day as the end of summer. But Memorial Day is a holiday. It's the last Monday of May. It is a day set aside to honor soldiers who died serving in the U.S. military. Originally known as Declaration Day, it originated after the Civil War and officially became a holiday in 1971. I think we share a common respect and deep admiration and gratitude for any of our country who would serve and be willing to sacrifice even their life for our freedom. You can't really put that into words, can you? And so if that's how we feel about those who would trade their life to defend our life, how do we feel about the one who gave his perfect life for our, not earthly freedom, but eternal freedom? How do you put that into words? That's what I want us to think about this morning, is remembering Jesus and his sacrifice for us. We're going to start, if you're reading in your Bibles, in Matthew chapter 26, Matthew 26, 36. This is when Jesus is in the garden. When he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before he is to be crucified, Jesus won't sleep this night. By all accounts, I don't suppose he ate or even drank the next day necessarily. So he's in the garden, he's with his apostles, and he asked them to stay and watch and pray. And the Bible says that, the scripture says in verse 37, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Jesus broke down. You know what it's like when you try to keep it together and you finally can't and you lose it. And Jesus lost it. He said to his apostles that his soul, he was sorrowful even to death. But the way Jesus expressed it was, he didn't say that, you know, his mind was sorrowful or his heart was sorrowful. This deeper than that. You know how sometimes when you feel something that's just deeper than your heart just doesn't express it? His soul, to his very core, sorrowful to death. He asked Peter, James, and John to go a little bit further. Jesus goes, and he goes to pray, and he falls, not on his knees, on his face. You ever got on your knees and prayed? I have. I haven't gotten on my face. This is a further level of humility, desperation. And he begs God for another way. He begs God for a way out. Let this cup pass. And he goes back to his apostles and they're asleep. They're not watching. He goes back and he prays the same thing a second time. He begs God for another way. He goes a third time, prays the same prayer. Begs God, let this cup pass. It tells us, we don't doubt Jesus' love. That's not it. But as humans, we understand, don't we? facing a cruel, torturous death. Men have done that as martyrs, but they didn't have the power and the way out like Jesus did. Jesus went like a lamb to the slaughter. But John 3:16 tells us, God so loved the world. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Think about this. In the garden, God chose you over His Son. In the garden, God chose you and He chose me over His Son, didn't He? I'm not saying God loves you and me more than His Son, His only begotten Son, the one who is eternal like Him, who's in perfect unity with Him. I'm not saying God loves me more than Jesus, more than the Word, more than the Son. But in the garden, He chose me over Jesus, didn't He? And He chose you over Jesus. He couldn't please both. He couldn't take care of both. He offered one for the sake of the other. That's John 3:16 is powerful. It's a very simple verse. It's one that many understand and memorize. We know it. We can recite it. But to me, the words, they're so simple and few, but I can't fully grasp it. And the words are, God so loved. Romans 5:8 also says it a different way. It says, God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's one thing to express your love in words. It's another thing to show your love. And so three things we want to remember about that weekend, about that day on the cross. And the first one is, remember the love that God expressed. In your Bibles, 1 Peter 5:7, you'll find a scripture. It's pretty simple. Casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. I want to step out a little bit on a limb this morning. I've been helping Stephanie in a class this quarter. And today's the last Sunday of the quarter. We're going to continue. But don't get nervous. I'm going to a sweet little two-year-old back here. I have three students. We had three in class this morning, two-year-olds. And Presley's one of them. And every week we work on our Bible verse. We work on our Bible verse. And we have Bibles, different colors. Presley, which color do you like? Now see, I wanted to practice this just to see what would happen with you all in here. But that was kind of hard to do. Presley's one of my favorites. Partly because how she says my name. She calls me Elilit. Elilit. Well, can you show Dad our Bible verse? Can you show him where it is? Where's our Bible verse? You know where it is? 1 Peter 5:7 says He cares for Presley. He cares for Presley. He cares for you. We work on that every week. It's not that a two-year-old can't do that with all your eyeballs on them. What I want you to know is that a two-year-old knows. In Bible class, they know God cares for them. God loves them. I'm going to sneak up on another one. Hi, Brianna. This is Brianna. She's one of my favorites, too. Which Bible do you like? See, we have red ones and black ones. Can you find our verse? Where's our verse in there? Can you find our Bible verse? Is that it right there? That is it. What does it say? God cares for you. That's right, for Brianna. Right there. We say God cares for, and then we say their name. Right? Miss Jayla in the nursery. Miss Jayla, let me tell you about her. She's warming up to me. Jayla, she's doing a little better every week. And this week in class, she laughed. That's the highlight of my morning. Jayla. Something I want to tell you about her is I've been a fan of Jayla's since she was born. And she is still warming up to me. Her and I aren't fully buddies yet. But I'm a big fan of hers. And then the thought hit me, isn't that how God is with us? God was a fan of yours before you ever knew Him. And that gives us a little glimpse, right? We, as humans, we can understand that. I mean, I love that child. I love her. And that's how God is with us before we ever know Him. It doesn't matter your age. At your age and on your level, Presley, at her age, she knows God cares for her. Brianna knows God cares for her. Jayla knows God cares for her. Siren knows God cares for her. Isn't that cool? And at our age, the older we get, and I think the more aged and spiritually mature among us, they can't even explain to us the understanding, because you can't put it into words, of God, His love for us. It's something we have to remember. We also want to remember the price that was paid, and it may sound the same, but it's different. Remember the price that was paid for us. Jesus, think about this. He was captured in the garden. He was treated like a criminal. Jesus, the same one who should have been worshipped during His life and during the end. Jesus, having never sinned, He never lied, He never coveted, He never gossiped, He never envied, Jesus never cussed. He had nothing but love and sacrifice for mankind. He was the perfect life that should have been worshipped. But instead, He was mocked, He was beaten, He was whipped, He was spat on, He was treated in a humiliating way as people would treat the worst scum of this earth. And He was subjected to a cruel death on the cross. Think about this. In America, we will not allow someone to be executed that way. We deem that inhumane. In America, we have laws. We do have capital punishment, but we do it humanely. We have outlawed certain means of execution. In this day and time in America, Jesus would not have been crucified. We wouldn't allow it. It's not humane. Think about that. To the worst criminals, we wouldn't do that. And that's what Jesus was subjected to. He hung there to bleed and slowly suffocate and die for 6 hours. So when we remember the price that was paid, that's the price. I can't fully understand it. I can't fully get it. I can't fully comprehend it. But when it's not a dollar amount. It's way beyond a dollar amount. But it is a price. 1 Corinthians 6:19 gives us a snapshot of a concept about how God feels about us. He says, "Do you not know that the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God?" God gave you your body, and as a Christian, God puts His Spirit in you. Your body becomes the home of God's Spirit in some sense, the temple of the Holy Spirit. You were bought with a price. Glorify God in your body. God looks at us and He says, "I paid for you. I redeemed you. I bought you. You cost me a lot to redeem you. Don't dirty yourself with sin. Don't scar yourself with sin." Right? And it's, we have speaking here about sin in our body, sexual sin in particular. But don't deface your body with sin. God says, I paid for that. Parents, if you buy your children something and they didn't pay for it and they don't treat it very well, once in a while, I remember one time Sydney dropped her phone, and I was much more concerned about that than she was. I mean, it has a case on it, but still. And I remember making a comment to her, be careful with that. Now, hold on, be careful. I bought that. You didn't buy that. I bought that. It may not be the best. It may not cost the most, but it cost me quite a bit to me. Treat that like there was a price paid for it. And that's what God's doing when He looks at us. He says, "Hey, I paid for you. I redeemed you." The price. It's hard for us to understand. the price that Jesus paid. I do know one thing. I know because of what it cost God to redeem us, I know that sin is worse than I think it is. I know sin is worse than I think it is because of what it cost God to solve it.
True.
To wipe it away. To forgive me. To redeem me. It's worse than I think it is. Sometimes we may... It's fairly common for us as Christians, when evaluating maybe something in our life that we're going to do or not do, or listen to or participate in or watch. And we may have thoughts cross our mind that, you know, I know grandma, you know, I may have this godly grandma, and boy, she wouldn't approve of what I'm doing or how I'm talking or what I'm watching. I know the preacher might not approve of that. We have thoughts like this. And I want to remind you, sin is worse than you think it is. I want to remind you, don't ask the question, would grandma approve of this, or would the preacher approve of this? Would God approve of it? That's the question. And the way we answer the question, would God approve of this, the way we answer it is not with reason. Whatever you do, don't reason. Don't think in your mind, well, let me think about it. You know, God understands it. I kind of, you know, my life's hard, and, you know, this really isn't that bad. And I mean, I'm just, don't do that. Don't do that. Jeremiah 17:9. If you're holding the Bible, turn to Jeremiah 17:9. Circle it, underline it, star it, screenshot it. Jeremiah 17:9. You ever heard someone say in giving advice, you know, someone's struggling with what to do about a decision in their life, and someone will say, you need to follow your heart. You just need to, you know, listen to your heart on this. Follow your heart. Maybe there's a time and occasion where that's good advice. I don't know. I can tell you for the most part, that's terrible advice. It's terrible advice. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. My heart's deceitful. It will lie to me. Things that I want to do, my heart will find a way to make it seem okay. My heart and my mind will work together, and I can take anything and make it right and good if I want to do it. The heart is deceitful. Desperately sick is what the Bible says about the heart. Isn't that something? And we live in a world that I mean, it's a world that's Hollywoodized. That's a word. Write that one down. Hollywoodized. I mean, we just live in a fantasy land where we follow our hopes and dreams. And there's something to be said for that. But in our choices about right and wrong, don't reason. Don't listen to your heart. Go to the Word of God. Amen. Listen to this. Follow God. Because the price God paid for us is immeasurable. Lastly, remember the promise made. Jesus made a promise. Made to His apostles at the end of His life. John chapter 14. First I want to read. Let me back up. Hold up. John chapter 14. You remember Jesus talking to His apostles. He's trying to encourage them because He's about to die. He's about to leave. He will after a number of days after His resurrection. He's trying to encourage His apostles. In verse John 14:1, He says, let not your hearts be troubled. So he's trying to tell them, relax, calm down. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? Jesus says, I've told you I'm going to prepare a place for you. That's something to get excited about. And Jesus said, if it weren't true, would I get your hopes up for nothing? If it weren't true, you think about, it blows my mind to think about heaven. As beautiful as this earth is, and many of you have gone to amazing places on earth, and one thing that I think is amazing is really just about anywhere on earth there is a unique beauty to it. Whether it's the desert, whether it's the hills of Arkansas, whether it's anywhere around, any part of Oklahoma, there's a unique beauty to it. But some of you have gone to places, Gulf Shore, Alabama, the Caribbean, Hawaii, Switzerland. We've gone to some amazing places. They take your breath away, don't they? You think, man, I'm in paradise. God did that. God threw that together in 6 days. And it didn't take him 6 days. He just did it in 6 days. Understand that. But God threw that together in 6 days. What is heaven like? What is heaven like? The place that God has made for His redeemed. Not just creation, but His redeemed. What is heaven like? I want to leave us with a scripture here that speaks about this. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Paul says, "We do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away." Anybody relate to that? Aches, pains, struggles, disease, illness, right? Yes. Father Time, I've heard it once and I'll never forget it. Father Time is undefeated. Our outer self is wasting away, but our inner self is being renewed day by day. And here's why. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. That's what Paul is excited about and those with him. He says, physically, we're dying. We're getting beaten. We're getting treated poorly. We'll be martyrs. But inwardly, we're dreaming about heaven, and we know we're closer every day. Amen. A week ago, before school was out, Abby was frustrated. She was frustrated because she knew school was out the next week. She knew it here, but she said, "I can't get excited." She couldn't feel it here. And that, now for whatever reason, that frustrated her. I kind of understand that, right? I mean, this was a real dilemma. I know it here, but I can't get hyped up emotionally. Isn't that something? That's kind of funny to me. But I think we're that way about heaven. I know here how great it is, but for some reason, I can't get hyped up enough here. And that's something we need to remember. We need to remember how great heaven is. We need to remember that's our home, right? Remember the promise God made, Jesus made. "I'm going to prepare a place for you." We need to think about that more. We think about that more, life's going to be better here. There are things that we tend to forget: the love that God has for us, the price that God paid for us, and the promise that He made for us. We're going to sing a song, a great song that just, it's a song where we remember to praise God in moments like these. We've had a couple baptisms yesterday. We celebrate with that. I have news for you. We're about to have another one before you leave. This is a good day. And we're going to sing a song of encouragement. And if there's something that you're struggling with that you need prayers about, or if another one wants to come and give their life to Christ today, we'd love to do that and help you with that. So if we can help you, please come while we stand and sing.
In moments like these, I see God's love.